messages to life. Whether we write a song, whether we know what's right, while we're living in what feels old. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Soul Sessions, an All Souls podcast from All Souls Counseling in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm really glad that you're here today. Today I'll be talking about ADHD and focus issues that can happen in a lot of folks. October is ADHD Awareness Month, so to observe that, just wanted to talk a little bit about this diagnosis that when I started as a therapist, we weren't really talking nearly as much about as we are now. And I'm going to cover a lot of different topics, but I want this to be generalized to focus issues in general, just for anybody, but also giving a nod and especially sending a lot of compassion to folks who are neurodivergent, have ADHD concerns, focus issues, and giving a lot of compassion to that and how challenging it can be to try to conform to a world that doesn't always get support or is set up well to handle folks who might have alternative ways or needs of doing things and getting things done. So to honor that, we all got stuff to do, we all need to get things done, but sometimes might struggle to do the thing. This episode is dedicated to you. But first, let's take 5 slow breaths together with a little bit of twist this time in honor of the Focus Awareness Month. All right, for this 5 breath practice, I'm going to switch it up a little bit today and offer 2 different options for you. I'll introduce both of them and then we'll do the breaths together. Feel free to choose whichever one feels right for you, or try one and then the other, whatever feels best. The first one is our typical 5 breaths, just taking a slower but even breath through the mouth or nose, breathing in and out. The second breath practice is pretty much the same, but we're going to change how we breathe in and out, in that we're going to breathe in as if we're breathing in through a straw. So pretend you have a straw right there at your lips or in your mouth, and as you breathe in and out, as if you're breathing through a straw. Now, we want the breath to be about the same length of time, but it's going to be as if you're breathing in and out with that kind of pursed lips breath practice. So whichever one you want to do, I'll be doing the pursed lips breath practice. So if you hear that, that's what's happening. And we'll practice these 5 breaths together. As usual, we will start by emptying everything out of our lungs. Really empty everything out. And then breathe in. And out. 1. Breathe in. And out. Breathe in. And out. 2 more. Breathe in. And out. And last one, breathe in. And out. Very good. Now, whichever one you were doing, feel free to just release that breath practice and just take a moment to just notice how it can feel to do the breath practice. Try to notice non-judgmentally what's happening. What is present, what has changed, what hasn't changed, any of those sorts of details. And most important, take a little bit of time to rest. Thank you so much for doing this breath practice with me. All right. So I really want to start with the idea about what kinds of things can challenge focus when it comes to ADHD and folks who don't have ADHD as well. But when we think about ADHD-related focus issues, these are things like easy distractibility, difficulty starting tasks, trouble sustaining attention. Some people think about this as like executive dysfunction. They mean like the part of our brain that is in charge of thinking and tasks and stuff like that, just that part of our brain might not have everything it needs in order to keep up with what the greater society at large might ask us to do. So this might be really basic, kind of mundane things like just household chores or paying a bill or needing to run to the grocery store. Or it might be much larger things like getting taxes done, making and showing up for routine medical care, things like that might feel really daunting or overwhelming. And sometimes there might even be bigger projects like needing to renovate your house or do something pretty significant that understandably will be really overwhelming for most people. But if executive function is challenged or we have executive dysfunction in place, they can be really hard to know how to proceed. So those focus issues are really, really common with folks with ADHD. But there's also, for folks who maybe don't fully meet the criteria for ADHD diagnosis, they might have focus issues that are unrelated or different from that. So just to kind of normalize it, at some point in our lives, we might all have had difficulty focusing or getting things done. And that might look like added stress. That might look like digital distractions, having our phones just available, screens all over the place. Those are very easy to get really enamored or really kind of bombarded by, maybe. A need or a desire or being habitual about multitasking. And then sometimes it's just a lack of motivation, which sometimes lack of motivation is more of an anxiety or depression concern. But all of these things can increase the lack of focus. When we talk about ADHD and focus issues in the mental health world, it's really important to differentiate. Is this an anxiety concern? Is this anxiety getting in the way? Is the person really overwhelmed, so they're having trouble focusing because they just have so much going on? Or is this an executive function issue? There's a lot of things that go into that. I would encourage you to really consult with a mental health professional or your primary care provider, perhaps, about what some of those details are. I'm not going to get buried in the diagnostics right now. But if we're not sure, we don't want to go straight to ADHD if it's just a focus concern. And I don't mean that to sound like just a focus, like it's not a problem. It can be a severe issue. And we want to make sure that we're approaching this in the right way in order to support in the best way possible. So just know that there's lots of factors that can be impactful. So as a therapist, I'm going to really focus on what are this person's, regardless of ADHD or not, what are this individual, what are their main stressors? Is it hard for them to use the phrase like to see the forest for the trees? Do they need to zoom out a little bit to get some perspective on the things they need to do? Do we need to reprioritize? I use the word triage a lot. So if you're unfamiliar, triaging is prioritizing the most important things. So if you go to an emergency room, for example, there's usually a person, maybe like a nurse or a case manager or a social worker, whose job it is to prioritize the people that need to be seen first. So someone having a heart attack, someone who's, had a severe injury to their body, an open wound, things like that, those folks are likely to get in to see the doctor first or the provider first. It just depends on what the patient's situation is. So we can triage for ourselves what is most important and how can I prioritize my tasks that in a way that helps me be effective. And there's lots of strategies for that, but just know that triaging can be one way to consider to help a person achieve more focus. Okay, so you may know a lot of this stuff already. Maybe you've already been dealing with ADHD or focus issues for quite a while. So I want to get to the strategies as quick as possible with this. So some universal strategies for better focus is some stuff that can be really, really important. So the first thing here I want to mention is just breaking tasks down into smaller, more manageable pieces or chunks. So if we think about the project as renovating my home, that is a gigantic to-do item on a list. So it is definitely important to break it down into much smaller, more manageable chunks of tasks, of things to do. So we're going to bring, I'm not a home rehabber, I don't know why that's my example, but we want to consider breaking it down maybe room by room, what needs to be done, the permits that need to be pulled, all the things, the people that need to be hired, the people that need to be brought on board, all the supplies that I might need, et cetera, et cetera. Seeing that we pull things together in a way that makes sense and makes it more doable. Another option that you might think about for better focus is using a timer. So there's a technique called the Pomodoro technique, which is just simply timing yourself for, okay, I'm going to work on this project for X amount of time, and then I'm going to give myself a break after that period of time. So working on this project, for example, I'm going to do 15 minutes of work, I'm going to do 20, 25, 30, whatever you feel like your attention span can handle, and then give yourself a 5-minute break. And I really want to encourage this break to be a really, really helpful, rewarding, high quality break. So I don't want to sound like I'm negative about things like social media and our devices, but our phones and our, again, social media or things like that, maybe an online game, they can be a break if you're using that thing with intention. But if we're using it and just like mindlessly scrolling or the dreaded doom scrolling, that's maybe not going to be a high quality activity that's going to help us feel better. So please just keep in mind that whatever you choose for your break, for or essentially whatever your reward is for having done the thing, for having done the 25 or whatever minutes of work, make sure that your break is a really high quality thing. So maybe that's like a getting outside. Maybe that's listening to nature. Maybe that's going for a short walk, spending time with a dog, calling a good supportive person. Whatever that feels right for you, doing some doodling or drawing, maybe engaging in your creative outlets. Again, social media isn't the enemy, but if you're gonna do that, I would encourage you to maybe consider seeking out a social media account that you know will be a high quality experience. So an account that really fills you with a lot of joy and a lot of peace, you know, something that just feels good to experience versus let's just see what the algorithm drums up for me today. So being more intentional if you're gonna go that route versus mindless scrolling. That's not the kind of activity that's going to help you keep moving forward in the activities and the work that you're trying to do. Another idea is decluttering your workspace. So keeping things as tidy as possible. It's been shown in studies that if we have a really cluttered workspace or a cluttered home environment in general, it can increase our anxiety. It can make it harder to do the things we need to do. Now, if you have a lot of stuff, that's okay. Maybe you know exactly where everything is. See if there's maybe a way to just make sure it's as organized as possible. And if there's stuff on the desk that doesn't need to be there right then and there, maybe consider putting it away for a time being. Now, if you're an out of sight, out of mind person, if object impermanence is a thing, you just have struggle with like, where did I put that? I don't even know where it is. It's gone now. Just you lean into what works for you and make sure that you're taking care of yourself in that way. Digital distractions can be huge. So if having your phone nearby while you're trying to get something done is problematic, you might want to put it in a drawer, put it away, put it face down. So when you get a message or things like that, you're not going to be as tempted to pick up the phone and interrupt your focused work time. You might want to put your phone on Do Not Disturb. There's lots of options. Technology can be really actually quite helpful for focus and attention if we use it in the right way. And then make sure that you're prioritizing tasks. I talked about triaging earlier. So focus on your three key tasks using a simple to-do list or a task manager that helps you do the thing. And then finally, one of my favorite things is make sure you take movement breaks. So if you've been working for a long period of time, if you've been sitting for a period of time, see if it feels good to like get up, move your body, maybe do some stretching, do some chair yoga, go walk around the block, anything that feels like it's just going to get the blood flowing a little bit can be really good. And then work on getting back to what it is that you need to do once that movement break is done. Okay, so since this is an ADHD awareness episode, I did want to include some ADHD-specific strategies that can be really helpful, and making sure that we honor whatever our specific needs are. So if these don't all apply to you, don't be surprised by that, because everyone's ADHD brain can be a little bit different. Neurodivergent, it's in the name. So if these don't all work for you, don't let that concern you, but see if you can pick and choose from the ones that do help you get done what you need to get done. So one thing is called body doubling. I've heard other terms for it, but this one I think is a helpful one, body doubling. And basically it's kind of like a gym buddy or an accountability partner working alongside someone else. So getting somebody on the phone, or maybe open up a chat with them, or FaceTime, or whatever feels right or helpful for you, and say, hey, I need to do this thing. I need to sweep my room, whatever it is that you got to take care of. I need to clean off this table. And I don't really need to talk. I don't need to, in fact, maybe you would prefer to not talk while doing this. It's up to you. But just see if there's someone else who might, maybe they would also benefit from some accountability. But for the next 20 minutes, I need to work on doing these dishes, or I need to work on paying my bills, or whatever it is that the task that has become really important that has been hard to do. Just, there's some vulnerability there, I get it, but just ask for a little bit of assistance and work alongside them. So you're in this together, right? Like, I'm going to siphon off some of your motivation. You can siphon off some of mine. We can cheerlead each other a little bit, and we can do the thing together. And then we get to celebrate. And then maybe we talk afterward if you want. That can be the celebratory break at the end, or not. Maybe you can be like, awesome, thanks so much. Talk to you later. So working alongside someone else, again, even virtually, to stay engaged, to make sure that we can do the thing. Other things are externalizing the reminders. So sometimes our own brains aren't as organized as we might need them to be to do the thing. Our work environment isn't totally set up to meet our neurological needs 100%. So set up external reminders. So this is where sticky notes, putting a post-it note up to don't forget to do this thing. I think it's helpful sometimes to put, if you need to remember to take whatever to work, whether to make sure you're taking this, you know, something that needs to go in with you to work, set it in a place that it's going to frankly be in the way and be kind of annoying so that you can have to, if you have to trip over it, that's, you're probably in the right direction, because that way you won't get lost in the shuffle of getting ready for work and your habit mind won't take over. You're going to see that thing, take care of it, do the thing. You can also think about alarms for your phone. So set a timer on your phone, say, remind me at 9 o'clock to do the thing. So a reminder pops up. Oh, I got to go do this thing, and then go do it. You know, don't dismiss the reminder until you've done the thing. Another thing can be making sure that you create an environment where you work that is conducive to your sensory needs. So something we may not always think about are things like the paint color of the room or the stuff that's in the space. Again, like we talked about clutter earlier, right? So if clutter is problematic for you, or maybe you don't realize that it's problematic for you, maybe consider clearing off your space. If you have a desk or an environment where you work most of the time, clear it off. Sometimes that's also the desktop on your computer. Maybe there's too many things, too many tabs open, too many things happening. If you can, clean it up. See if we can kind of, you know, and you can use your accountability partner to help you with this. Be like, I need help clearing this out because it's stressing me out. So see if we can kind of utilize that as a strategy to help yourself out. Sometimes you might want to consider like noise-canceling headphones to make it better for you. You might want a fidget tool or even background music. Sometimes having something else soothing, or the sound, like, you know, sound of the ocean in the background, or white noise or brown noise, whatever feels right for you, to stay focused in the moment. So these are just some ADHD-specific strategies that I think could really work for most people, but these are more geared toward folks who specifically have an ADHD situation or a diagnosis, whatever feels, you know, might be appropriate for them. Hope that you find these helpful. Okay, and for this last segment of the episode, I just wanted to talk a little bit about one of my favorite topics in general is just this idea of self-compassion. So for folks who have trouble staying focused for whatever reason, but especially if ADHD is on board, there can be a ton of negative thoughts and emotions, and maybe even behaviors, around this topic. Maybe you're surrounded by people that really don't get it. If someone doesn't have focus issues, it can be very hard for them to understand why doing the thing, getting these things done, cleaning up your space can be really, really challenging. And if you have ADHD as an adult, you probably, most likely, had it as a child. And so know that the idea of self-compassion can be really important here because there can be a ton of shame around this inability to do the thing. Now, when I say shame, I really want to make sure we're careful to define that, because shame in this case, well, in most cases, is going to be the idea that there is something wrong with me. So guilt is the idea that I did something wrong or did something bad, and shame is around the idea that there is something wrong with me, I am bad, things like that. And when we're children and we don't know what we're doing, we're just doing our best, we're just trying to make our way through the world, our environment, whether it's home life or at school or with our peers, whatever, not everyone will get it. And that can be really, really tough. It can feel very othering. We can feel like we're pushed into a corner, like we're all alone. Now, a lot more people have this diagnosis or are more aware of it than ever before. But if you made it into adulthood, especially without this diagnosis, you might have had this unknown, what is wrong with me? What is going on? And that can lead to a lot of shame. So one of the antidotes for that is tremendous, generous amounts of self-compassion. So please realize that focus is a skill. Some people might just, much like playing basketball or the piano or drawing or any skill that might be out there, some people might just be inherently better at it. So it might take you a minute to learn how to have some focus or what works best for you. There's a whole, I mean, I am just skimming the surface here, friends, in terms of options for dealing with ADHD and focus issues. So know that there are a lot, maybe an overwhelming, ironically, amount of things to do that might be helpful. So please be patient with yourself as you try to develop this skill. It's tough to develop a skill. We don't pick up a basketball on Monday morning and we're playing professionally by Friday. Well, I mean, that's unlikely, right? Maybe it may happen for one person. But for the rest of us normies, that's not gonna happen. So let's be patient with ourselves around developing the skill and doing the thing. So focus is a skill. It's not a moral virtue. It's not some sort of superiority thing. It might make someone's life a lot easier, and that's amazing. Good for them. But it might not be that way for you. I can guarantee that that other person that has this tremendous focus skill has something that they suck at. I will wager large sums of money, and I am not a person who likes to gamble, but like I am willing to wager money on that there is something that, frankly, they just suck at. We're just not talking about that right now. So please offer yourself some compassion. Struggling doesn't mean you're lazy or broken. Struggling doesn't mean you're lazy or broken. Now, do you have trouble getting going? Sure, some people do. And do you have some moments where maybe some of your behaviors might be a little lazy? That's okay. Let's be really honest and real with ourselves. But beating ourselves up isn't helpful. I hope I'm not misquoting her, but Brené Brown, the noted researcher and social worker, has a quote that goes a little bit something like, "No one was ever shamed into better behavior." So that includes shaming yourself or being shamed by other people. Shame is not a vehicle for improving our behavior by itself. We might want to respond to our shame, but dealing with our shame is a really important thing to do. Okay. So really want to encourage also, celebrate the small wins. So if you do something and it goes really well, awesome. Really do something that is celebratory. Maybe find another ADHDer, another neurodivergent friend that is, or neurospicy, I've heard people say before, which is a wonderful way to say it, very compassionate. Find someone else who gets it and then celebrate with them. Be like, I did the thing. It's awesome. Yay. You know, that's a really wonderful approach to celebrating what goes well. And recognize that progress is progress, even if it's just getting started. Really, really important. Now, I talk about this a lot, but this final pointer about self-compassion is really practice self-awareness. So really notice what helps and what hinders. Be really honest with yourself. You may love your phone. You may love having it in your body. You may love getting that text message or getting that message from social media. That's great. It'll still be there when you're done with the task. So I want to encourage trying to have just as much discipline as you can muster, which may not be a lot, and that's okay. But just do what you can to, if something's going to prevent you from getting it done, it's really important to just be honest with yourself and be like, I know myself, I can't get this done if I'm trying to also do this, or you know, if I'm trying to have this other thing going on at the same time. And that is offering ourselves some really radical self-compassion. Being really honest and truthful with ourselves about what we need is a really radical, important task and really shows that you care about yourself and your well-being. So this is big work. I'm not trying to say, oh, hey, this is super, let's just do the take care of this on Monday morning. This is a thing that can take some time. So realize that life is usually a marathon, not a sprint. So let's just do the thing over and over, learn from our mistakes, and move forward. And that's it. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I hope that you can spend a little bit of time taking care of yourself, regardless of what kind of focus concerns you may or may not have, and recognize that it will all get done. I promise. One of my favorite quotes that I have on the wall in my office is attributed to the philosopher Lao Tzu. It just says, "Nature does not hurry, yet everything will be accomplished." So just the reminder to just take a breath. It will get done, or it won't. And that might be okay too. But seeing if we can allow for that to be okay and just not let ourselves really get caught up in the hustle and things like that, that can cause us to get less done anyways. So the hustle isn't really as helpful, I have learned over the years. Thank you so much for spending time with me. I hope you've learned a little bit about ADHD if you weren't already aware of it. And if you do have it, just know that it is not something that's bad. It can be very stressful, but I hope that you can treat yourself with the compassion and the love that you need in order to feel better and to approach this head on. Please reach out with any questions or comments or concerns. We would love to hear from you, and I hope that you have a great month, and we'll see you next time. This is the Soul Sessions podcast from All Souls Counseling in Asheville, North Carolina. Be well, sending lots of love. Take care.